So let us arrive. Let us arrive in this moment. Let us arrive in our bodies, tasting the deliciousness of our breath and of being alive. What a gift! A gift that sometimes we take for granted. Life flowing through us in this moment, smoothly, effortlessly, and beautifully. So let us welcome our breath to our body. And imagine that breath is nourishing, massaging, loving, holding every inner corner of our body as we breathe. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, full of wonder, breath. Just noticing how every breath meets every part of your body with no judgment, with no hesitation. Pure collaboration. Just noticing how that works in and through you. Hello, breath. Hello, nose, inner nose, back of the tongue, throat. Hello, lungs. Hello, heart. Hello, belly. Breathing effortlessly. You have nothing to do. And nowhere to go. No rush, no push. Effortless, friendly. Really tasting this moment. Being with yourself, like the way your breath is with you. So today, we're going to meet and greet our higher self. The question immediately is born. What do you mean? Doesn't my higher self live within me all the time? And the answer is true. Higher self is always there to meet you. But the question is, are you always there to meet your higher self? This needs to be a two-way relationship. One is always there, and one is sometimes there. So just like the way your breath welcomed every part of your inner body as it went through it, I want you to stand at the gate of yourself. And welcome your higher self. Hello. I know sometimes I argue with you. I know sometimes I ignore you. I know sometimes I go against you. But I also know that my happiness and my well-being lies in meeting you, merging with you, and being one with you. Hello, my higher self. At the moment I say higher self, one might imagine a very grand part of ourselves that is only needed for grand times and grand decisions. But the higher self that I'm referring to is very, very humble. They are available to us 24/7 on small, medium, and large decisions and moments. Do I say what I just wanted to say? Do I do what I just intended to do? Do I go here? Do I go there? So what we're doing, what really awakening is the merging of our higher self and this person I call Mitra, that I'm so attached to her identity. My family, my people, my home, my body, my. So gently in your heart's eye, imagine that however you see your higher self is sitting right next to you. Offer your hand. Touch their hand. Smile. Hello. Welcome. I want to make friends with you. I want to be with you as much as I can, as often as I can. And as long as I can. Suffering is born when there is a conflict between us and our higher self. truthful living, authentic living, easeful living is when higher self and this identity I call me integrate smoothly. So we're going to just imagine how that feels like. You may bring a sort of challenging decision that you may have or you may have had. We're going to share this challenge with our higher self and just ask your higher self, what do I do about this? This is just a sampler of how it feels like. There is so much ease in truth. And truth means the merging of my identity self with my higher self. So I go quiet and join your silence so that you can imagine you're sitting, it's a triangle. It's you, the identity you, your higher self, and a challenging decision or a challenging topic. First, merge yourself with your higher self, and then together ask for an answer. And see how you feel when you even imagine that. Hopefully you got a taste of unity with your higher self. And if there was any obstacles, that's okay too, because the further away we are from our higher self, the longer it may take for us to go towards our higher self. Our higher self is always there. That's its job, to be there with us. So just whatever you witnessed and experienced, be gentle with it. This was just an invitation for meeting and greeting the higher self that sometimes lives far away from us, but its home is within us. Let us take a deep breath together, noticing the same breath that we started with. And when you're ready, please open your eyes and join us in the group. Hello, hello. Welcome. We've gone monthly now. yeah. Do tell. Are we crying? Yeah. Oh, do tell. Are you ready to share? That was interesting.
Yeah, wow. My higher self told me I needed to go back. And with that, the same learning that I went through all my issues that I had with myself, the same mindfulness learnings that helped me overcome them, to go back now and look at the love that was in my life and look at the good things with the depth that I studied all the negativity and why I did a lot of things in my life. So it was just, wow. It was just, yeah. And it was really interesting because my higher self was my soul, my avatar. It would change back from being like a spirit to seeing the figure of my avatar. And it said to me, this is where your wealth is, in that love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah, I saw you crying and I thought, wow,
yeah,
that must have been quite a meeting.
It was. Huh.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the avatar is our higher self. But since we have physicality, we always need a physical thing. So we're playing. It's just like, okay, you want toys? You want to play? Here are some toys. And as we play, as we disentangle, is that a word? Distangle? Yeah, okay. Distangle. Oh, well, it is now.
Disentangle, I guess.
Disentangle. I knew there was something missing. Disentangle. Thank you. Disentangle with this character we call self. It's because we're so involved with it. We're so attached to it. It's just so beautiful to see what happens when we let it go. I was sharing with Nikki and Chris before we started that my mom had a fall, and I've been with her like literally 24/7 for almost a month. And she's fine. Nothing is broken, but it's a lot of pain. She's in her 90s, so it's very difficult. But I have to tell you, the freedom that I see on her face, it just like goes to my heart. And the freedom has come from the fact that she has disentangled, now I know the word, disentangled with all these must-dos. You know how we have it? No, 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 I have to wash this before I touch that. No, I do not do this. Yes, I do this, but I do that at 3 p.m. only. All these things that we have. And of course, when you have been here over 9 decades, you have a lot of them. And she had to let them all go. She had to let them all go. The control is gone. All this, I have to is gone. Even her prayers were so structured, which was beautiful. I mean, she's a professional prayer. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact she does it, but it was rigid. Like, I'm not coming at this time because I'm praying. Like, you could not negotiate with her. And that has all mellowed. That has all mellowed. And something beautiful happened. We had a visitor, Henry's cousin from Israel, and she was coming to visit us. She's staying with us and visit my mom. And she had, unfortunately, a cough that is non-stoppable. They can't find out what it is. She's been around the world. She has seen every specialist. She has this cough that is very uncomfortable, both for her and for people in the room, but they can't find any reason. Otherwise, she's healthy. So my mom meets her for first time. Imagine my mom is blind, legally blind. So she sees something, but not a lot. And she's in pain. She has just fell down. She's in absolute pain. She's limping. She comes to the room. She hugs her. And then she says, because you could hear her coughing, she says, "You are so beautiful, and your cough is beautiful." This woman starts crying, turns into sobbing. She says, "I have been coughing for over 2 years. I've been embarrassed about it. People look at me as if I have disease." She's a like an expert professor in like musical therapy in the world. She's an expert. She's written books. She's invited to talk, but she's like looked at as if you are diseased when you cough like that. And she said, "This is the first time." Not only did she say, acknowledged it, but she said something nice about it. And she couldn't get it out of her head. She's gone now. And she keeps texting and saying, "You're beautiful and your cough is beautiful." But I want to say that happened because my mom was in that state of tenderness. She would have probably seen her beauty because she is a beautiful woman, but she probably, I'm guessing, what do I know, would not have noticed connected to the cough. And more importantly, if she did, she would see it and feel it and experience it as beautiful. And you know what happened after that? Her cough stopped that night. I mean, she was in tears. And this is the first time she's meeting my mom. And she says, "I can't believe it. There's no 20 minutes, there's no 15 minutes that goes by that I don't have like one of these." And it's really hard. I have to say, it's like, oh, it just goes on. And you think like she can't breathe, but it's just unknown cause and she's fine and there's nothing else wrong. So, very unusual story, but it says so much about what happens when we let go of that character. And that's what's happening. My mom is connecting to her higher self, to her tenderness, to her beauty inside. And she looks so much more beautiful. I mean, I look at her face, I enjoy it. I go sometimes and lie down beside her. In this past month, I've been doing that. And I look at her and I think she is beautiful, not because she's beautiful, but she's beautiful because she's free. Freedom is so beautiful. So beautiful. There is ease. And she has so many obstacles right now. So all that suffering, I've been contemplating, I've been with her. Sometimes I have only 1 hour of sleep at night because she wakes up five times, wants to go to the bathroom, and I have to get up and take her. And I've decided to do that. It's good for my soul too. And I just think, wow, all of our suffering. All of my suffering is when I argue and I call it tribalism. I'm attached to my tribe, and my tribe could be my look, could be my fame, could be my daughter, could be my mother, could be my possessions. We think tribal only people, you know. It's just like I have a tribe that I don't know why I'm so attached to it, and I've never questioned it. And that's why I suffer. That's why I suffer. Sorry, long start, but I just really wanted to share this with you because it was so valuable as I watched my mom interacting with the world and with herself. I'm thinking, why don't we do this earlier? Why do I wait till something goes wrong? Why can't I do it today? Letting go of whatever it is that I call mine. It's mine. And whenever my consciousness and my humanity stands under my possessions and my tribe, that's when I'm not in connection with my higher self. Because consciousness and humanity and humility needs to stand at the first line. And whenever it becomes second or third to anything, that's when I suffer. So that was my share. Your turn now. Somebody else need to share.
The practice really took me back to the first time that I did the avatar exercise. And I remember when I was imagining my avatar, I had this moment where I'm like, I'm not imagining anything. The avatar is who I really am. The higher self is, I think, who we really are. And it's covered up by this somethingness that we've been constructing ever since we were able to view ourselves as a separate self. And this separateness is something that I'm aware of more so than ever now, that it's a constant, it requires constant attention to keep this sense of being separate from the world. My memories, my experiences, my preferences. And that practice really brought it back for me that if I can just see myself as the avatar, see myself as my higher self, it makes it easier for that somethingness to just fall away, or to at least be able to see it clearly and know that it's not who I really am or what I really am. I've been struggling a lot lately with all the news and wondering, how can I hold all of this with equanimity? And at times it just seems impossible. At times I've been feeling like I shouldn't hold all of this with equanimity. I should be enraged. I should be angry. I should be scared. I look around me and it seems like everyone else is. But that practice helped me see clearly that if I can hold the rage, hold the fear, hold the anger. On the other side of it, if I'm showing up as my higher self, I can find that equanimity because I think the most important response to all of this fear and anger is to be as kind and compassionate and loving and gentle as I can be as I'm showing up. Moment by moment in the world. So I'm working on that a lot right now, and that practice really helped me. So thank you.
Yeah, it is hard. My conclusion is the harsher they are, the kinder I'll be. It's called energetic donation. I donate with my energy because when I get, and it's very human. I mean, I don't want to say that we do get upset. We do. I mean, it's hard to watch the mayhem of the world, but I'm not gonna go with their energy. Because then that's the true winning for the very thing that I do not like. Just imagine if I came here and I accused you and I was horrible and I started cursing you. Just think about it. If you did the same, I won. It doesn't matter what you say or not. If I got you to be energetically, which means really consciously, at my level, I just won. I got a neutral or a very mindful person to go to anger, resentment, and separation. I just turned you from little everything to something. There you go. Success story for me. So the question is, it's not so much what we do, it's just with what level of consciousness I do it. I could do a lot of good things, a lot of not seemingly good things, but with very, very high consciousness or very low consciousness. I mean, one of them is like when people donate to charities. I mean, I may donate $10 with so much meaning. I could, and people do donate 10 million, 50 million only because of tax relief and their name. And no problem. I mean, they still help. I'm not saying why, but I'm saying you can compare this with that. If I want my name on top of something, and if I'm purely doing it because of whatever, then energetically I haven't benefited. Fame is there. Money is there, but it didn't add to me. So yeah, it's a hard one. It's a hard one. We're living in, I mean, I've been telling you about these days, and now we're living it. This is the time that I was talking about. And it's gonna go even faster and deeper. It gets to a place that we'll find all of us, we'll find ourselves at the fork. We no longer can be in the middle of the road. I can't have my cake and eat it too. I need to turn right. Or I need to turn left. The middle lane is no longer available. And for that to take place, we need to really look at ourselves consciously. Because I can't just be in the middle of the road and benefit from this and benefit from that anymore. I have to decide, what am I going to do? Which one will feed my higher self? Which one will bring me integration and harmony? And we have to decide. Hard times, hard conversations. You won't believe the conversations that I have privately with my clients, where they're at, what questions, what they're asking. They're asking their own tribe, for lack of a better word. What am I doing? Who am I? Why do I believe this? Why can't I do this? Why do I do that? I mean, these are beautiful times. Times of evaluation, times of decision making. Who am I? How do I want to feel? Is my higher consciousness more important than my possession, my family, my name, my fame? Huge questions, every one of them. And we're asking them all at the same time right now. Thank you for sharing, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's see. But it's not a sad time, so we don't need to be sad. Believe me, sadness actually adds to the very thing we don't like. So let's see who's going to share next. Share, ask, whatever. Carlota.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's funny enough, I was coming with the question that you resolved from the meditation. I was coming with a question like, as an attention is when you decide to put yourself in life in a place where you have to take a lot of survivalist decisions. What's the best place to be? And then I sat and we did that, and I'm like, oh, here it is, my answer. About the meditation, I think one point that was surprising me and at the same time very beautiful was when I've invited my higher self, and you said hold their hand. When the hand that reached towards me was an old hand, and suddenly it reversed and became like a kid's hand. And that's the point where I started crying. And it was my very young me. And I connected to this higher self of actually what Chris was saying, in another way that this higher self that has not been covered and covered with layers of somethingness. The answer that I got to my question is that there is not a supposed way to do things, and that the way that it's common and understood normally doesn't have to be the way that works for you, for me, and that it's all right. That just instead of thinking what would be the best decision that would be better in a month or in a year or in 10 years, just think what is the best decision today and for next week, and find ease in taking small steps that feel spacious. And so, yeah, I listen at that, and I'm gonna trust on my wisdom and the wisdom of the people who's involved, that they're gonna find whatever resources they have to meet find when the time comes, but that now it's nice to just get to enjoy it. Get to enjoy it instead of get to stress about making it work. Like just shift the vision to make it joyful. And then I had this connection to what we were talking about, detachment of the tribe and identity. And it's funny because I think we built all these constructions in order to relate to the world. It's like we need to know what we like. We need to know our preference in order to go out and relate to somebody. But on a way, that's the very best thing. That's the very thing that it's limiting us to experience the world at large. So how funny, we think we are building these identities in order to connect, and those are just making us disconnect from actually the large spirit or energies of the world, so that we can relate to more than what we think we like or we agree on.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love the hand that was old and then it was young.
Yeah.
Those are the times in our life that we sort of are more connected, probably, to our higher self. I mean, as a child, we don't have these can't, musts. Whenever I say I can't, I think, like, is that true? What does that even mean? I can't. What does that mean? I mean, a lot of I can't comes from that attachment to my another tribe is my beliefs. That's another tribe that I belong to. Like all these beliefs that I've developed through my fears. I can't means that I haven't experienced it. Freedom is very frightening to a person that is imprisoned. I mean, it's a famous story. I'm sure you have heard that how a bird, they put birds in the cage for a longest time. And then one day they left the cage door open and none of them came out. They don't understand freedom. They haven't experienced freedom. So when we have been put in cage or cages through these beliefs, trainings, that whatever that has come to us, the family, the community, the whatever, the social life that we all have. And then freedom is frightening. How do I live like that? What do I do without fill in the blank? My fame, my game, another thing, games we play without my game, without my people, what do I do? And then the very thing that we're afraid of, when we let it go, it just becomes so amazing. They become your support system. They, at the very least, respect you, and at the very best, help you and respect you. Oh, thank you. That was a beautiful scene. The hand of a child and the hand of an old person. Same hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitra. And I just wanted to add a drop. I was having a conversation with my father yesterday, and he said to all these people that believe that medicine is going to make them eternal, like live forever, my only wish for them is to achieve it. Because for me, things. It's so clear that I had enough and I'm happy when I die. Like, and we're just having a laugh. And but it felt so good to hear that.
That's amazing. That's
And
you have done a good life.
yeah, exactly. He's like, I would like to know, like, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, where are they gonna be at? Like, I know that I'm 80 now, and when my time comes, to go, things have to start and pass.
And we never really die, anyways. That's the fear. Thank you.
Sure.
Let's see who's going to share next. Go ahead, Jennifer. I think Jennifer wants to share. I see on your face.
Well, it wasn't related to the meditation, so I was waiting if other people had meditation feedback. Mine's about the lessons. So I am behind on the lessons, but thanks to Nikki's peer-led session and her accountability, I finally got back into them. And I listened to the feminine and masculine energy one. And you had mentioned in the lesson that there's masculine and feminine colors. And so all I'm thinking of is, oh, pink is for girls and blue is for boys, but I think you mean something else. And so I wanted to know if you can give an example of what a color would be for masculine and feminine.
Yeah, first of all, it really depends on the shade. We never talk about colors as colors. We're talking about colors from shades. And shades really come from, and it looks like you work with colors, so you know probably better than I do, but it's the combo that it comes together. So the orange or the red that comes with orange and some other color is very different than or you know red that comes from pink and some other color. And yeah, these blue and pink is a business. I don't even understand it, that it's like for boys and girls. And it's a business that has worked. So it's for marketing purposes. But really, it's what it's how it speaks to you, the colors as they speak to you. When I paint, I really become very aware of it. It's not a like it's not something I can teach, but it's like something you feel. You completely feel that you need now more of a like an action color, you know, like you need to move the painting into sort of some solid place. And to me, that's more of a masculine color. And when you need softness, you need to bring it into more of a feeling place, not action place, feeling place. And those are, to me, the shades are more of a feminine nature. But really, all of these are there for us to understand the balance of these energies within us. Like when I look at the colors and I'm thinking, what is it needing? I'm really translating that to me. What am I needing right now? Because I paint with someone, I paint with my brother. And it's amazing when I go to colors and their energy, I go to a balance of my energy. Was I too soft? Do I need to connect and speak with my brother? And or is it more of a quiet time? I need to go within. So it's really about your energies that translate into colors and shapes, by the way. Shapes also more of a round shape is about feelings. This is all for me, and more of a like angles and sharpness. Those are about actions and more masculine energy, and the ones. I mean, and I really am curious to see if you see what I see. You, meaning all of you, when I look at the painting, the more pleasant ones are the ones that have a balance of those things, be it shapes, be it shades, or be it the message, the complete setting that it's communicating. The ones that are pleasing to me are the ones that bring a balance. So that's all I had to say about colors and masculine and feminine energy. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in music, it's in sound, it's in our look, it is in our everything is there. Everything is there. Yeah.
Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you, Jennifer. Let's see. Let's see who wants to share and who wants. Oh, I know Christine is going soon. She said that in the chat that she's leaving. She has to leave soon. So let me just see. Is that true that did I read it for you? Yeah. She said that. So I don't know.
Kristen, not Christine.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kristen. Yes, that's true. Did I say Christine? Yes, thank you. I have my watcher here. Isn't that wonderful? She corrects my words. She corrects my names. Can you move in, Nikki? Okay. We're gonna be in silence. I love that.
I will share.
Go ahead.
Hello, everyone.
Uh-oh, you're
Nice to
cutting
see
off. You're cutting off,
everyone.
Minnie
Oh,
John.
Chris, something. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, now we
Can you
can.
hear?
Now we can, yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay.
So this meditation was amazing. After a month, especially looking forward to this meditation. Whatever meditation you would do, I was looking forward. But I have been myself
Minu, you're
to
cutting
connect
off.
to my
Sorry.
higher self, the past. Okay, so let me take this off, see if it works.
Okay.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. It's just you go off. I think it's the Wi-Fi connection from what I can tell.
Yeah, I'm going to try one more time. If it doesn't work, it means the Wi-Fi is not good enough.
Okay.
They're working in the neighborhood, I guess, again.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I was saying I was looking forward to this any meditation you did, and this one was amazing too. It's been a few weeks that I have been trying to connect to my higher self, and something comes in a way. And I cannot do it. Well, you just said don't say cannot, but and I thought about it, why I am not able to connect to higher self. I used to do it faster, but right now it's everything is like block. And today was the same way. I was hoping with your help I can get there or get there faster, or at least get there, but I was not able, just like the past few weeks, it's blocked. So I think I need to start my daily meditations longer, make it longer, and do it more consistent. Maybe I'll get to that.
Yes, and also that may happen when we feel, it's very interesting, when we feel maybe we haven't been, I mean, I don't know, I haven't talked to you for a long time, so I don't know where you're at, but sometimes I know for me, when I feel it's almost like when a child misbehaves, when I've been not connected to my higher self, then it's I don't want to be connected to my higher self. It's just, does that make sense what I'm saying?
You
I don't know
get
if it's true for you.
disconnected more and more. You get
Yes.
disconnected more and more.
Yes. The less you connect, the more difficult it is to connect. And it's not so much, and this is so important, and I'm really happy you brought that up, Minu, because we always think like there's something like we need to do or there's something wrong that we're not connecting. But just know that the higher self is there. And it's not just poetic lines I'm saying. Truly, the higher self, only job that your higher self has is to serve one master, and that is you. So 24/7, your higher self is just waiting. Imagine somebody standing there waiting for you. So it's important to know this because then we understand the blocks that you showed. And it was interesting, you went like this because, yes, it's on your side. So if it's something that is on my side that I'm holding, I can also remove. It's actually very empowering to know that. This is not like accusation, it's like it's your fault. It's not that. It's just when I know that, it's like, oh, I'm holding tight to something. I'm saying, and it could be including that belief that there it's blocked. How about it's just like peekaboo? Let's just say hello. It doesn't need to be like, come and let's go for a walk. It just go like a child, become playful, and it comes. Because when the mind sees this as a problem, when mind sees a block, it starts wanting to solve it. And then it comes in the way again more than before. It's don't make it complicated. I was a witness to an argument in a park. It was so interesting. I was, anyways, doesn't matter where I was there. I was there in the park. This was about a month and a half ago. And I happened to be a witness to a very difficult conversation between two people. I didn't know them. And I was looking at them, apparently I was smiling. So the guy who's upset turns to me and said, "Oh, you seem to be enjoying this," he said. And I said, "No, I'm not enjoying it. I'm just thinking how simple it is to resolve it." He said, "Oh, come in, please." And he's like very beautifully sarcastic, but not harsh, but like sarcastic because he just had a really difficult argument with his family member. So he said, "So please come in." I said, "Come in where?" He said, "Tell us the solution." I said, "Oh, I don't need to come in. I can tell you from here." He said, "What?" I said, "Can you hug each other?" He said, "What?" I said, "Hug? Ever heard of that? HUG?" He says, "Hug each other." I said, "Yep." He goes like this. He says, "Okay." So he goes and like grabs the person and hugs. And I said, "Stay, please." And they say, and I'm sitting in the bench, just like far away, like watching them. They hug. And I go and touch their hands and I say, "That's it. That's it. You got it." And the boat starts laughing. And that thing is broken. And that's it. They wanted to, he thought, "I'm gonna go and be a mediator in delivery." He said, "Are you a mediator? It's so funny." I said, "I am, but there's no need for this right now. You just hug and it's just done, done." Because I could hear the nature of their conversation. It was just that simple. Don't make it complicated. I mean, I said that story because I want you to know that it's not a block that you need to remove and you need to every day like meditate, which is wonderful, by the way. I have to do it for at least a month to remove this block. No, it's just like, come in, come in, peekaboo, come on in. And there you go. You just
Like
connected.
the it's like the genie in the bottle, and I
Yes.
need to touch of
Yes.
well,
Yes.
on the bottle or at the bottle for
Yes.
me to come out.
Yes, I got shivers when you said that. You know what magic is? Magic happens when I touch and become one with my higher self. Because now my whatever it is I want is the same as the universe, because my higher self is connected to the universe. I'm not, but it is. So that's when magic happens. Magic is, let's translate what magic is. Beautiful word you used. Magic is when something I want happens immediately, right? That's what magic is. Like if I worked for 35 years and I got the like thing I want, you won't say, Mitra, that was magical. You say you worked hard for it. But if I said I wanted it and it happened, you say, whoa, that was magical. And that only happens when I am in the flow. Flow means I'm with going with the stream of life. I'm not swimming against it. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful share.
Thank you.
All right. Isaac,
Yes.
your turn.
your turn.
My turn. Very good. I want to ask a question, but it's not related with the meditation. Is that okay? I was
Yeah,
waiting for the second one.
sure.
What's the best way of manifestation? What's the proper way of proper way to manifest?
I think we just talked about it. Manifest or manifestation really is creation.
Yes, correct.
So you
Well,
create. Oh, sorry.
imagining is imagining how to create and imagining how to reach the goal, basically, when you manifest something
Yes.
to reach that. To reach that goal, to achieve it, to receive it.
To receive it. Beautiful word. To receive it. So it's to allow it. Everything
Correct.
we want is there. We're not. The question then becomes, what's coming in the way of me not allowing it? Why am I not allowing it? What? It's just like those people in the park that we're arguing. What is it that I'm not allowing? And the allowing always the question, the answer is the connection. When I am far from where I want to be, and I see that as a problem, it's hard to allow it. But allowance happens when I understand, I believe, I realize. Three state of mind. Remember, identification, comprehension, and realization. Realization means when I make it real for me and I understand that it's just there. I just need to allow it. And the question is, what belief is coming in my way? What's coming in the way that I'm not allowing it? Whatever it is, it may be something that I want, like in a physical sense. I want, like, this, I don't know, contract to arrive. It could be that I believe I don't deserve it. It could be that it's not for me. It could be so many things. So, remember my Martin story? I don't know who remembers it. I'm going to say it again, that this woman had a special relationship with God, and God promised her that I'm going to give you love. I think Carlotta remembers because she's smiling. And then she finds this guy named Martin, and she's having fun and really happy and says, "Thank you, God, you gave me love." And then Martin leaves, and she's devastated, just devastated. She goes to God and says, "Please return Martin." And of course, it doesn't happen. And then she becomes angry. You know how we do it with God. Like we sulk and we attack. I can't believe it. You also lie. You must be a man too, because you also lie. She goes all the way. And then God says, "Where did I break my promise to you?" And she says, "With Martin." He says, "How?" She says, "You promised me love." And God says, "Yes, I still am with that word. But Martin does not equate to love for you." Sometimes we are attached to the Martins of our life, and we're not allowing the love to come in. Poor Martin. Martin is a friend of mine, so I told him I chose his name for this. He said, that's okay. We've been friends for 40 years. So what I'm saying is that maybe the thing that you want, that you think you can't manifest, is because you're too attached to that thing. Go for abundance, for instance. Let's say, I mean, I'm just thinking for me, it would be, let's this contract that I want. I need to let it go and look for the abundance instead of this contract or this person or this employment, whatever it is that we may be looking for. And then you'll be amazed of what happens. Magic takes place. I was talking on that topic to somebody that I hadn't seen for a long time, a client that I hadn't seen for a long time. He came in emergency to me. He was almost, I don't want to say, but very in a harsh place. And he said, after so many years of having my business, I don't know what to do. I need to work. It's not working. Everything has changed. I cannot catch up. And after talking, we decided that it's the best thing for him is to go and work for another company, because he didn't have it in him to work for himself anymore because of so many reasons. He looked at me and he laughed. He said, Mitra, I've never ever worked for anyone since I was in second year in college, and I'm in my late 50s. Do you really think in this work, you know, bazaar, somebody will offer me a senior job to run their company? I said, I don't know. All I know is we just planted a seed that you had not planted. I always wish I could share some of the information, like copy and paste their emails. 5 days later, I receive an email that is a copy of an email that he had received. He says, Mitra, I don't know what voodoo you do. I received this email, read it. A friend of his says that I received this posting, a headhunter, a very famous headhunter, is looking for this and has sent it to me. I could not think of anyone but you. I know it sounds crazy and you have your own business. Why don't you have a look and see if you can help either this health, you know, headhunter to find someone or just chat with them? He says, I've never worked for anyone, and I received this email 5 days after talking about this. You know what happened? He let go of one way he thought he can save his financial self. And then the doors of heavens opened. He has gone for a second interview, and she, the headhunter, has told him that he's the preferred candidate. I'm hoping he gets it if this is right for him. What I'm saying is he was attached to his Martin. His Martin was only one way that he knew. When he expanded by force, sometimes we do it by choice, sometimes we do it by force, he surrendered to any other options, something opened that truly this is the best thing for him. He needs a complete structure because he's very gifted, but he needs a structure that he doesn't have and can't afford to have. And this company, he will retire 10 years from now with an amazing package and has the structure, and he would love that. Would be a perfect fit for him. But it only happened when the one Martin left, then the potential for love came in. So my question to you is, question your own agenda for manifestation. What is it that you're attached to? And what is it that thing symbolizes? So when I say, Martin, I really want love. When I say this contract, I really want abundance, right? When I say I want the result of this test to be this, I want health. So leave the Martin, go for the love, and watch the magic happen. In the world of physicality, they call it manifestation. But you're going to create something you want. That's all I
Thank
have
you.
to say. Thank you, Carlota.
No, on that note, just remember that early age on my 20s and 30s, I had friends complaining they were not finding boyfriends and people to really engage and have a relation. They were close friends of mine, and I could see how they had clear definition of Martin. Martin has to be this way, that tie, that. And then it happened one after the other that they decided to move. And then once they decided to move, obviously there's logistics involved. So they move after 2, 3 months, 5 months. In this period of time, they found love.
When they were not attached to Martin.
Exactly. They release all their expectations on what the relation should look like or the person should look like. They went through life through the same streets of the same city, having no expectation because they were leaving anyway. And they, one after the other, met people that were really not their Martins and that they felt in love. And I remember to like take mental note of this myself. Like, what, which are the walls that I'm walking with, that they're going with me while I go through the streets, that are not allowing me to see these other things, might be love, might be, and I think it has helped me a lot to happen to have magic in my life and questioning all the time, because that's a question. It's very tricky. You build these walls without knowing. It's like me silencing my phone. It's a thing I do without conscious, and then it brings a lot of problems because I don't, but it's like you silence things without realizing, and you have to be asking once in a while what I'm silencing, what are the walls I'm walking with that are not allowing me to see wider and receive.
Yeah. And I want to take it because your story was perfect. I want to take it back to the meditation. So the character is the one who wants Martin. The higher self is the one who is offering love. And what comes in the way is the separation of these two. When I am one with my higher self, I realize love. So that's why I say, look at the symbolism of what you want. And focus on that because in that moment, that means you are one with your higher self. Higher self says, love says, please let me give it to you. And I'm saying, no. He has to be this and she has to have that. And there have to be this. And that restriction or restrictions, those restrictions stop me from seeing the true love. I was talking to a young woman literally on Friday, and she was saying that I think I'm the loser in the relationship and he's the winner, but I'm okay with it. And I said, doo, 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 doo. First of all, if you feel that way, you shouldn't be in that relationship. Secondly, let's talk about losing and winning. Okay, tell me what you have and what he brings. She said, well, I have the better look. Okay, self-identification, sure, okay. And I come from a much better family. I said, have you met his family? She says, no. I said, and then how do you know you come from a much better family? She says, you know, I say, you mean richer family, right? She says, well, yeah. I said, okay, richer is not necessarily better. So just call it that, Richard. Your family has more money, but we've never met his family, have we? She says, no. Okay. And I am very good with social settings and I have more friends. Okay, good for you. Tell me about him. How do you feel in the relationship? Oh, he's very attentive to me. Good. He's very adventurous that I'm not. Okay. And because he doesn't come from money, he's very independent. He's built a wonderful life for himself. Oh, okay. And tell me more. How do you feel when you're with him? Oh, we have so much fun. Oh, do you love him? Yeah. Does he love you? Oh, amazing. Okay. And I'm saying, okay, I've written down all these words. Let me read them to you. And then when I read what she's getting, in quotation mark for those of you who are not seeing the video, and what he's bringing in and what she's bringing in. She said, "Oh my God." I said, "So you're getting oneness, unity, you're getting love, attention, pleasure, you're getting fun, you're getting adventure, you're getting a partner, and you think you're losing?" And she said, "I've never thought about it that way." Because in her mind, her Martin was this like amazingly richer than her kind of guy that would come and save her, whatever that means, from a life of luxury. She already has it. I don't know what the problem is. But that's when this higher self and the character are so far away that we sound ridiculous. I always think out loud. My mom now knows because she's with me all the time. She laughs. She says, "Are you thinking again?" I say, "Yeah." She says, "Why do you do that?" I say, "Because I want to hear how ridiculous my thoughts are. When I give them words, I'm embarrassed. Like I'm look around and think, I hope nobody's hearing this. But when I am not in my head, I say, I completely agree with you. But when I utter my words and I actually say them, I think, oh my God, do I really feel this ridiculous and think this stuff? I do." Yeah, great story, Carlota. Yes, me no.
Okay. So abundance means more choices, or abundance means more wider thinking. What does abundance mean?
Both of them. Abundance means that which I don't know yet, I haven't imagined yet, but I know it's possible. Abundance means I'm open to anything. If I told you that when you were, I don't know, in high school in Tehran, that you will end up living in a beautiful home in Beverly Hills, you would think like, where's Beverly Hills? Like I live in Tehran. So you didn't know, I didn't know that I would live around the world. I wouldn't know any of these things. But if I said, no, I only, there's one area in Tehran where I was born, I only want to live there. That's the only place that I imagine the best place I can live. But then life offered me these things that I thought was hardship, but it was so rich. And then I got to live this amazing life. Abundance means I'm open to receiving, allowing, going to what Isaac said. I'm open to receiving that which I may not even be able to imagine. I don't know. I want love at its utmost point. I don't know what that is like, but I want it. I could have never imagined the oneness that I have with Henry. I couldn't because I never had it. I couldn't imagine it, but I was open to it. In fact, what Carlotto is, I was never looking. I had decided I'm good to go for the rest of my life. I have my kids. I don't really need a man. And it's true, I didn't need a man, but I wanted a man. Need is different. Need is that he will come and wash my dishes and pay for my expenses. Want is please come because as a human being, I want to bring myself to a higher place through my connection to you, through being able to be myself fully, not covering myself with anything, be it makeup or the lies that I tell public. Can I be me? Can I be completely me and yet be loved? And be loving. So abundance means being open to more and the vaster and the unimagined. That's what abundance is. And every time I talk about it in the book that is almost done, that every now and then cracks open from our the ceilings that we have created for ourselves. And that's what we call creativity, that anything that you see from technology to amazing creative ideas, Something comes in, but then fear closes it down again. So the question is, how can I have this ceiling completely removed so that I and the sky, the unlimited, full of potentiality and possibility, always growing and expanding sky, be one all the time? That's what abundance means.
Thank you.
Thank you. And no problem, Christine. I know you're with the baby. She says, sorry, I'm not participating. It's okay. We know you are by listening. So we have 10 more minutes to go. Who wants to speak? Nikki, you want to add
Here.
more? I heard you
Yeah,
talking about a dream when I was preparing.
Oh,
I'm
my
not sure.
dream.
Yeah, sorry. You don't need
No,
to share that.
no,
That was
no.
very off.
That was interesting. Well, before I go to the dream, I just wanted, you were talking about the whole thing about, manifestation and everything, and how things, and it really is like I realized I asked, what you're saying is when you're in the flow, but when you're in the flow, you do let things go. That's what's interesting. It's
Yes.
like you let go and things just flow along. Just like my appointment that I put on the chat. What's that? The appointment I had with the naturopath
Yeah.
was for October. And then I just have to tell everybody, the receptionist that I talked about, I saw her last when she was 8 years old. She's 43 now. So it had been 35 years, and it was so beautiful. That was just a beautiful thing. Yeah, my dream was interesting. I had just come off the stage. I hadn't even thought about, I play with the idea of doing a little acting here and there once in a while, but I don't have that same drive that I had. And so I had come off the stage, and an Indian woman from India, I didn't know who it was. All I knew was by the name, it was Indian, gives me this gift, and it's filled with rings and bracelets and a shovel.
Oh.
And so I'm sitting there going, what does all this mean? But what was really interesting is I'm looking at all this stuff, and there were like a couple rolls of rings, and there were bracelets, and then there were more rings and more bracelets. And I go, I don't need any of this. And I said that in the dream. And then when I woke up, I was trying to figure out, why the shovel. And of course, you look up things, and the shovel can either mean digging up old things or planting new things. So that's, yeah. So it was really interesting to me just to what it, you know, what is it, what does it all say, and what does it mean? Yeah.
So, well, we could do just the today's session on your dream. I love dreams. I love dreams. Do you want to hear what I want to
Sure,
think
yes,
it is?
please. Yeah.
So, stage and jewelry symbolize to me, that's the first thing that came to me, symbolizes the outwardly world,
Okay.
possession, fame, and possessions.
Okay.
And then the woman is from India, which is
Yeah.
a old wisdom culture. Like it's old world, it's older
Yeah.
kind of place. And then the shovel, yeah, you're right. Shovel, you can dig your own grave or you can plant a seed, a new seed. The choice is yours. So between the outwardly world, fame and fortune, jewelry and being on stage, and the shovel, you were given an amazing choice. Do you want to plant a seed of a new way, or do you want to dig in old stuff, which means digging your own grave? It means unhappiness, basically. When I live in the past, I'm either regretting what I had that I don't have anymore, or regretting what I didn't have and I wish I had. So it's always with problems. So
But what was interesting in the dream, I said, I don't need this.
yes,
And
and
that
you
says
made the
that,
choice already that you want to plant. So now the shovel, the question is,
shovel,
what do I need to plant? You already
What do I
made the
need to
choice in
plant?
your dream. Yeah.
So that was fascinating. And then taking me back to this stage, I go like, wow, that's wild that I, and it's because opening night, you'd always get the flowers and things like that. And yeah, so it was fascinating.
Yes. And it's your older desire being on stage. It's your older desire. So
Layer.
that's very interesting. Very interesting.
Which kind of ties into the whole meditation, really, when I think about it, is because that's telling me to go back now and really look at the places where I really felt loved, because we don't look at those.
Oh,
We
wow.
always tend to go to, to negative things, and really just explore that and let that feeling, of the love come totally fully over me again, and see those places, those people, those things where I, actually felt a true that true gift of love.
Wow. Yeah, it does tie into the meditation also. Yeah, making choice.
So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Or do we want to close with a meditation? Let's see. Anybody has anything to share or talk about?
Oh, I just quickly, I just want to say, between Chris and Carlotta and you, that we need to plan a meeting so that we can talk about what we're going to do. So after
Sure.
you come back. So just a reminder.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. So the idea is that we will have three pod meetings, basically. They've become pod meetings between Chris, Carlota, and Nikki. They're going to offer three of them throughout the month, and we're going to have one meeting, AMA meeting. So moving forward. So that's
And we decided that we weren't doing anything in August except for the AMA at the end of August, right?
Oh,
We
yes.
weren't
Oh, we're
doing the
taking summer
pods.
off. Okay.
Yeah, because we were going to talk about it and see where we were going to go and how we wanted to move
Sure.
forward. So,
Great. Sounds good.
okay.
So, if there's nothing else, let us just come back to ourselves. The good old breath. Let us just find our breath in our body. And just notice if you feel any different now than when we first started this session and started to meditate. We're going to go back to meeting our higher self and connecting with our higher self. Closing this meditation, call in, invite in your higher self, however you imagine them to be. And while you're doing that, ask yourself, what comes in the way of my connection to my higher self? It's a gentle question. There's no accusations or fault or blame. It's just a simple question. I wonder what comes in the way? What belief, what practice? I wonder what have I developed? What wall sits between my higher self and myself? What fear do I need to let go of? Speaking about the flow, imagine that we are in a river that is so safe and so welcoming, and we're just flowing in its waters. The question is, when I get stuck, I'm really holding to something. What is that something for you in this moment? What do I need to let go of? Because most of the time we ask, what do I want to bring in? And this is a different question. What do I need to let go of in order to connect with that which I want in a much, much bigger sense? In order to go for love, not just Martin. In order to go for abundance, not just the next gig or contract or job. What do I need to let go of? And allow your higher self to hold the space for you. You don't need to know the answer. You just need to ask the right question. What do I need to let go of? I wonder. Continue to ponder. So allow this question to be a live question for you, because this would be a really good question for the summer. The best summer idea. I wonder what I need to let go of. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes. Let us say goodbye. Wish you a happy summer. And I'll see you at the end of August.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank
Have a
you.
great
Beautiful summer.
summer.
Bye.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy. Be safe.
Bye.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.